Affairs Talk is powered by Xfinity.
Hi again, everybody, and welcome to Bears Talk, this week's edition from PNC Studio at Hallis Hall, featuring Tom Thayer, my broadcast partner from News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM, and former Bears tight end James RoboCop Thornton in the building. Pleasure to join us here today. Hope you're doing well. And I was walking in right behind you, and I was thinking, I wonder what he's thinking as an ex-player walking into Hallis Hall after all these years and seeing the game as it is today. So what is it?
This is a big building. We didn't have this building, Tom and I. We had a very small room, pretty much like this. The old Hallis Hall is very, very different than this. But the game is it's thriving. It's doing well, and it's still exciting for even for former players.
And you're on the field every home game at Soldier Field as a uniform inspector and a kind of an NFL lieutenant, so to speak, on what's going on with uniforms and shoes and whatever, making sure everything's right. But it keeps you in the game a little bit.
Field compliance, I like to go by.
Yeah, I like that. Field compliance.
Field compliance instead of uniform sheriff. So, yeah, I'm still involved. It's great to be on the sidelines, great to interact with the players and the coaches and be close to the game again. So.
It's amazing how much details the NFL pays attention to in terms of uniform code. We all have restrictions that the way we can dress back from our era all the way up until now, but it seems like now there's more things that are presented to you guys on the field because of whether the style of shoes, the type of gloves, the way they want to wear their socks in terms of the uniform code.
Well, the uniform is a trademark of the NFL. That's what, you know, obviously it's the essence of the team. It's what they sell to their partners like PNC. So we understand that we need to have that represented well. And it's really funny, even in our day, we took our uniform and we made it our own. But if you let the players make their uniforms their own, it would be actually very interesting what the uniform would morph into. I think Green Bay two, 3 years ago, the players had almost shorts on.
Right.
So we're just trying to protect the integrity of the uniform.
Sounds good. Well, let's dig into our topics today, and it begins with the Bears win. A much-needed win. I think it was a big relief and exhale a little bit for this football team after starting the month 0-3 in September and kicking off October with an impressive win.
Right, but I think it shows you what you're doing in practice matters, and it will work on the field if everybody does their job correctly. And I think that's a key ingredient here because you don't want to get frustrated by going out there for three-hour practices, sitting three-hour meetings every day and going, wow, this is all for naught. But when you see the development of the offensive line, you see the solid play of the defense, the defensive backs, the contribution of all the weapons they were able to use, that gives you the motivation to go in there the next week and practice just as hard or harder because you know you're getting something out of it.
Winning's infectious. Yep. Losing is also a very infectious thing. So as you say, when you're out practicing hard and you're not winning, it's deflating and it's very hard. This is a team sport first and foremost. You have 11 players on the field on every play. And if you're not playing well together, if you're not playing together, you're not going
to
win.
Not to mention the fact three-game losing streaks at any point, whether it's beginning of season, middle of season, or, God forbid, at the end of a season when you're driving for the playoffs, those become haunting days, especially when you hit that third one, doesn't it?
You know, it drags on you. Anytime you lose in sequence, it's going to hurt you. Just like when you win. When we won, and Tommy can attest to this, when you're on that streak, you don't change your uniform, you don't change anything. You wear it exactly the same as you wore it for every game you won. So the athletes have a lot of different things that they go through. And when you go through a three-hour practice every day and you're practicing hard and you're losing, it's incredibly deflating.
Right. Well, there's a lot of preseason thinking that, wow, Brock Osweiler, new quarterback in Houston. Then there's two rookie quarterbacks you're going to face. But every team goes through his trials and challenges. Then you have the injuries that you have to factor in during the season. So I think there was a lot of belief that, hey, the Bears could just walk through two or three of these games, but that's not the case. Everybody on the NFL field is good. Just like this week, there was a lot of expectations because Detroit was playing so well. What can they do to the Bears? but what the Bears did to Detroit. And I think that's the key element, because they went out and they played very well, organized football, got everybody involved in the game, spilled over to into the stands. I think the crowd was great this week, and it really helped the Bears get to the point where they needed to get to with a home win.
No, the biggest part of the whole deal was possession time. For me, the ball had to be possessed by the Bears, A, to keep Matthew Stafford and his no huddle off and keep him muted, so to speak, because they do have some weapons, and you got to put a lot on the offensive line. That's our second topic here today. Let's talk about it, because that offensive line played much more aggressive, I thought. You're going to speak to it better than I can, as well as you as former players, but they just appeared to be much more confident in their approach, and maybe that's now 4 weeks of continuity together up front, and had a running back that was willing to be patient and use those blocks to his advantage.
Right. They were a well-organized group, whether it was the run blocking or the pass blocking. They were able to be well-organized in some different stunts and games that Detroit Lions were using on their defensive line. They were able to pass them off, keep Brian Hoyer protected. But the key ingredient, I think, was the faith to go back to play. The second play of the game, they had a tackle where a difficult block for Cody Whitehair working with Josh Sitton. They didn't go away from the play. The offensive line went and talked about it. How can we do this better? And they went and ran the same play, and they got some big yards out of it. So that's what I like. Growth in the game, growth during the week of practice, but being a really well-organized offensive line in both run blocking and pass blocking.
Being on the field, that's exactly what I saw. They really played well together. And I did notice that it seemed like, I know he's excitable, but Kyle Long seemed to be really pumped up. And I don't know what it was this week. As the game went on, it looked like they really were playing together and enjoying the game. You know, I know Detroit wasn't necessarily the best pass rush they're going to face.
No.
But, you know, it's NFL. You know,
play who you play.
Play who you play.
When you play him.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know Ziggy Ansah, that helps not to have to deal with one of the premier sackers in the National Football League or DeAndre Levy, but, you know, you don't worry about that because the Bears didn't have Danny Trevathan and Eddie Goldman, so it's a wash in many respects. But I do, the enthusiasm aspect of it, I think it was all over the roster. I mean, those young defensive backs were going crazy.
Well, have you ever been mic'd up for a game and throughout your career?
No.
Because Kyle Long was mic'd up for this game. And I think that kind of contributes to the enthusiasm. And I don't think it makes you extra excitable, but you get to hear a little bit more from him and how it spills over to his teammates. Because Kyle is not just an offensive line guy. I mean, he's talking to the quarterback, the receivers, tight end.
Referee.
Guys on the defense, referee. So I love the enthusiasm that Kyle brings with him, because you talk about winning is contagious, so is enthusiasm.
Oh, exactly. I didn't know he was mic'd up, but it could explain a little bit of enthusiasm. But a quick little story to that point with Kyle, you know, he's always involved. Even when he was sitting out with his injury, Brian Bashnagel is my counterpart on the home sideline, and he told me a story about Kyle coming up to him and saying, "Brian, what can I help you with?" And Brian said, "Oh, I'm having trouble getting this guy to pull his socks up or this or that." And Kyle said, "I'll handle it." He went over and told the player who Brian was talking about to pull his socks up or to fix his uniform, basically. So Kyle's very involved in all aspects.
Yep, definitely a leader. All right, now the touchy question, I guess, is there concern now about a brewing quarterback, as the media likes to put in quotes, controversy? I don't think there's any controversy, but Brian Hoyer played efficient football. He played efficient football a week prior, also in Dallas. They didn't win, but there was a definite efficiency to him. Had a second-best quarterback rating in his career. And again, no turnovers. He hasn't thrown a pick in 97 pass attempts. And Jay Cutler right now, still injured. He's still rehabbing a thumb. So there's no controversy when a quarterback is injured. Where do you look at this? How do you look at this? Because John Fox has indicated in a broad scope that no matter who you are, including quarterback, the hot hand goes.
Right.
Who's ever playing well.
It is all about production. But the unique thing about the quarterback position, if you're not healthy, it's hard to play. Because when you talk about a thumb injury, whether it's your right hand or your left hand, and you're under center taking a snap, that affects the way you feel every single time. So if Jay's not 100%, I need to go with the quarterback who is 100%, but I need Jay to continue to prepare as a starter. Because every team we've seen throughout the league this year, they have had to go to one or two quarterbacks throughout their time. So I expect Jay to be a professional in his preparation, but if I'm the Chicago Bears or Dal Loggins or the offensive side of the ball, and I think Brian Hoyer right now is giving us the opportunity to get a lot of weapons involved, run this offense efficiently, is confident on the field, then I need to stay with him. And that's no slight to Jay. I respect the way he prepares himself. But again, it's about the production. And I think if you look at the production of the offense from last week, it was a really well-oiled machine.
I would agree. I think he played very efficiently. The unspoken rule, you don't lose your position to injury. When Jay comes back and he's able, I hope there's talk about it. But, you know, I agree. This is a team that's not going to win a lot of games very easily. It's going to take good play by everybody. So I think if Hoyer's got the hot hand right now, which he looked very, very good. And by the way, I was in the media room after and listened to him talk, and he said everything exactly right. Everything as a player, I would want to hear out of my quarterback. I think
what
you need to stay.
What is it that you want to hear?
You know that he's a team player. He's going to do whatever the coaches want to do. He's you know preparing today for the game, and he's going to be in and do his best. And that's all you can ask. You know, he's not involved in if Jay's going to come back or anything like that. He has nothing to say about that. He's just trying to play his best right now today for this team. And I like that. I like that. I know he's bounced around.
Yes.
He's had
five
some issues.
Teams.
He's been Manziel'd. But at the end of the day, I think he's a good quarterback and maybe he found a fit.
He's definitely a solid, smart quarterback. All right, on to the Indianapolis Colts, a team with a very good quarterback, a franchise quarterback who's paid a lot of money, but right now in a slump situation team-wide, 3-8 in the last 11 games and getting hammered back there in the pocket. You've watched a lot of the tape already. I'm sure some of it is his doing, as well as an offensive line that is really struggling right now and last week started three rookies out of need in London against Jacksonville.
You know, whenever you get tagged with that title, franchise quarterback, you better live up to the expectations of a franchise quarterback, because in our minds throughout our career, who do we think of as franchise quarterback? If you're talking about Elway, Marino, right, if you're talking right about Peyton, Drew Brees, those types
Montana
of guys, I don't think that Luck has lived up to the expectations in which he's been paid for, although he has had a good season. You know, it's difficult because when you get paid so much, and you can't start spreading the money around to other positions, and maybe you're paying a guy that you need to be a top-tier guy but is really a third-tier guy, and you see it in their performance.
Well, it's the rub. I mean, you have a great quarterback talent. He's going to make $100 million. It doesn't matter how it's viewed. He's going to make $100 million. But you're right,
but
though.
But it spills over.
It hurts your team.
Where
potentially.
Jim said it earlier. This is an 11-man yeah offense, 11-man defense with the inclusion of special teams. If you don't have solid play surrounding you, it makes it difficult for any position to be successful.
And it's very hard when you have a player making that much money to spread the rest of the money around and attract the players you need to attract. But in the same sense, this is the NFL. Linemen this year, I think, are at a premium. Offensive linemen, there's very few of them and a lot of positions. Our line played well. Their line played horrible. I think that he as a quarterback, has gotten hit so much, it's up here
it's
right now.
He's now starting that process again.
And he is looking, he's kind of got his head on a swivel as opposed to looking down the field and going through his progressions.
And he's the second leading rusher on the team. You got Frank Gore, who's elder statesman in terms
issue
of, you know, where you're considered, how long you played and what your age is for the running back position that's so physical. But now your quarterback's getting sacked and getting hit, and you're the second leading rusher. Boy.
60 games in a row without a 100-yard back for the Indianapolis Colts, and only one time in Andrew Luck's career have they had a 100-yard back game. Now, you can have quarterbacks throwing 300 yards left and right. Go look at their records throwing for 300 yards, or a receiver with 100 yards or more in catches. Even Alshon Jeffrey, the record in games is below 500. But if you give a 100-yard back, the numbers are always very good, 60, 70% winning percentage.
Example this week, look yes what the 100-yard back did for Brian Hoyer. Three of his biggest passes were moving pocket play-action fakes because there's so much attraction to the running back. And we just saw an example unfold in front of our face. And what, does that lead to success? Yes.
The answer is yes. It never goes out of style. Big Jim?
No, you got to balance that offense. It helps everybody. I mean, if you look back at the offenses that threw a lot, the thing that they do is they score a lot of points. They're usually pretty good. What was it in St. Louis? Remember the what they call them, the show on turf.
Oh, yeah. Fastest show on turf.
Fastest show on turf, yeah.
Prolific scoring offense.
But they had Marshall Faulk
Exactly. Great. He caught the ball out of the backfield. Exceptional. But what they did is they left their defense on the field a lot because they scored so quick. I think the balance is where you have a good running game, which, like Tom said, opens up the passing game. And you spread it around, but you eat that clock. Time of possession was huge this week.
Huge, huge. Bears went from bottom of the league to moving up a little bit. All right, quickly to wrap us up, our matchup to watch. We'll kick it off with Tom.
I'm going Vic Fangio versus Luck. I know that Vic Fangio is never going to get on the field in pads, but what he did to Matthew Stafford this past week with the change in his coverages, the changes of the defensive front using his linebackers and his interior defensive linemen, I love to watch the matchup. So I'm excited to see Andrew Luck's going to be able to hear the snap count and control the snap count because they're playing at home. I want to see what Vic Fangio does to the talented quarterback.
You know, the intangible is that Indianapolis played overseas last week, and they're coming back, and we don't know how that's going to affect them. There's no bye week. Usually they have a bye week.
They asked for no bye week.
Did they? Wow.
So there must be some strategy coaching-wise and organization-wise they think it's a benefit.
Very interesting to see how they show up. But I want to see our offense hopefully stay and do a – hopefully it's a carryover, and they're doing exactly what they did this past week against Detroit. And I don't think Indianapolis can stop them.
No, that would be great to hear, great to see, that's for sure. My matchup to watch is versus the Colts, their team speed. The team speed is very good, especially at the receiver position. T.Y. Hilton is obviously an outstanding receiver. Philip Dorsett can burn you badly. So against that secondary, which in cases they don't have great speed in spots, they play great technique and really attack the football. That'll be one of the matchups to watch. That's going to wrap us up. James, thanks for joining us. James Thornton, Tom Thayer, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for watching, everybody, this week's edition of Bears Talk from PNC Studios.